James a long time. Knew him as a little boy before I even had my first son. And that's kind of how I measure my life these days. And my oldest son is now 34 years old. So I've known Brother James longer than that. But it's been a blessing to me. It's been a blessing to my family to know him and his family over the years. And we trust that as long as we are blessed to be here in this time world, we'll continue in that fellowship. And this fellowship, this has been a wonderful opportunity for us to come together in this manner. Some good things come out of trials and tribulations, this being one of them, this fellowship, and I hope this fellowship continues in the days to come. This evening, you continue to pray for us for a little while. Want to read a verse of Scripture. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Scripture over and over encourages us with certain terms that help us to be comforted in our present circumstance. Being able to look beyond our present circumstance to that eternal circumstance that's waiting for us. And it says here, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now we have a scripture in John chapter 14 and verse 1 says that tells us, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Now the Lord told us over in John chapter 6 and verse 29, that the work of God is that we would believe on the name of his son. So believing carries with it the thought that there's some effort or some work for us to do in order to believe. Brother Tracy, we have faith. Well, if we are born again, child of God, we do have faith. And this scripture covers that we do have that faith because it talks about the love of God that we have, and if we love God, it's because he first loved us. He loved us long before this world was ever made. He loved us in covenant with Christ when he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And while sometime in our worldly travels, as we're born again of the Spirit of God, and the fruit of that, the Spirit of God is placed within us of the first being the love of God, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. If we have the love of God, we have also been given faith. Now, faith is something that we have to add to, and we read in 2 Peter, it tells us to add to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. It's interesting that word virtue is moral goodness, but it also carries with it a thought of having a voluntary desire to believe. And so we have to have a desire in ourselves to want to search Scripture. And the Lord tells us also in John to search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. We need a testimony. Our faith is gives us the ability. It gives us hearing ears and a seeing eye, the ability to have that desire to want to hear the word of God. Now, in we read of a place, and again, we need that faith. And there's a place in Scripture where our faith will that shows, and Scripture is a thorough furnisher given by God. Peter also told us concerning Scripture, it's a more sure word of prophecy. It's better than even Peter's eyewitness. The things that Peter has written down, Peter wrote down under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and those things in Scripture that were written for our benefit, that we could grow in grace and knowledge. We read over in the Acts of the Apostles in the 17th chapter, how those, there were those there in that 17th chapter, in the 10th verse, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming together thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. You see, there's a certain setting here as God sets things in order. Luke, in his writings, he said he took these things and set them in order. He set them in an order like the number system. You know, I spent the day with my grandson today, and he's in kindergarten, and we're doing the homeschooling, and we're trying to get him to understand that numbers are set in order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and so on, and how there is that systematic. And here we see that these Bereans, they received the word. Now, that's an important point here as we're looking at how that belief is a work. It's that we have to, by faith, hear the gospel. And the Apostle Paul says it over in the 8th chapter of Romans. It says that he was fully persuaded. It's interesting. To be persuaded is to induce one by words to believe. So here's the Apostle Paul. He is fully persuaded, and he's been fully persuaded by those things that he's received, the testimony that he's received. The Lord calls Scripture a testimony of him, and that we receive this testimony and by faith are persuaded by these words of Scripture that are more sure than even an eyewitness, that we would get to that point that we would believe. And when we believe, as it says in John, 1 John 5 and 1, it helps us to be secured in our thoughts that we are already born of God. This is not something that occurs before we're born of God. This is something that takes effort on our part, that we would search the scriptures as the Bereans did, that we could grow in grace and knowledge. Let's go over to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Let's look at a certain instance here that'll show how this one had faith, how that the preaching of the gospel persuaded him to believe, and that as he believed, it motivated him to do and testify publicly of his inward condition, outwardly of his inward condition. And we're talking about Philip and the eunuch. And if we look here in this 8th chapter of Acts, and the angel of the Lord spake to Philip, saying, arise and go down toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He had a desire to worship. And you know, this desire wasn't a worldly desire. He had a desire to want to know and to grow in the Lord. And he was returning, and he was sitting in his chariot, and he read Esaias the prophet. Well, we know what he was reading. He was reading the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it is a testimony of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Really quickly, we'll turn over to Luke chapter 24. And Luke chapter 24, this is after the Lord's resurrection, when he had appeared back unto the apostles, after he had appeared unto those at the tomb, that he had appeared unto those two men on the road to Emmaus, that they were sad, they were downhearted because Jesus of Nazareth, the one that was a prophet, that was mighty, that did miracles, but we thought he was the one, we had trusted he was the one that would redeem us. You know, the Apostle Paul reminds us over in 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, in this life only, you have hope in Christ Jesus, you're of all men most miserable. You know, they're talking about those that didn't believe in the resurrection. Here are these men on the road to Emmaus. They believed that, because they witnessed it, that Jesus Christ was crucified and he was slain and he was put in the tomb. But at this point, they thought that that was it. They thought they didn't know what had happened to him. They still did not understand fully everything that the Lord had taught them. But he spoke to them concerning himself from Moses and the law and the prophets. And then he opened their eyes and they went on their way. And these men went and told the apostles what they saw. And the apostles still didn't believe them. And so it says here in the 24th chapter of Luke, and he had thus spoken. When he showed up, 36 verse, and he, as they spake, this was as those two men were talking to the apostles, as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? He'd also already told them in one place, in John, let not your hearts be troubled. And they were troubled. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Well, I'm going to go down a little bit. And it says, after they gave him the fish and he ate, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Another place it tells us, the Apostle Paul says, consider what I say, and I hope you consider what I say this evening, and the Lord give thee understanding. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. I think this is the hardest part for us in our experience, because as we testify, and as we get back over to Acts, and we see the end of the matter with that eunuch, as he looked and said, there is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He must have heard of a full gospel. He must have been fully persuaded that, and it even says, and Philip asked him the question, I don't know which way to go here. Let's go here to, let's stay in Luke. But it says here, that it's written to behold Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Now, we live in a world and we experience death and we experience burial every day. We know many of our loved ones that we have that have passed on and gone home to be with the Lord. We have been to their services. We've visited their graves, but you know what? At this time, those bodies that we have laid to rest are still there in the confines of that tomb. The bodies that they had, our loved ones had here in the world, are still in the confines of that tomb. Their soul and spirit has gone on to be with the Lord at the moment they passed this life, but we still have not witnessed, or do we witness on a regular basis, somebody coming forth from a tomb. So here are these men who are still struggling with this situation, and the Lord is telling them again that behooved it was of necessity. Scripture told you it was of necessity. It was of necessity that he die in order that we would have that living hope. He says in John, we've been begotten again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, and the repentance of remission and sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now he's talking about the day of Pentecost is coming up, and he sends them to Jerusalem and tells them to wait there until the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And he said, in that next verse, behold, I send promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So we go back over to the book of Acts. You know, looking back, the troubles that they had believing that Jesus was raised from the dead, they had faith. And Jesus, in one part over in Luke, he called them fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Do we ever get a lot of evidence of something? And even sometimes we can see it with our own eyes and we don't believe it. We just, you know, something stops us from believing what we see with our own eyes. There are things that were seen with the eyes of these men, and they still just could not fully grasp it. And as long as we teeter on that point of whether Jesus is the Christ, because in Luke, those men on the road to Emmaus said that was Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, now look at the difference between Peter, what was revealed to him, who do men say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Christ told Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee. See, the men on the road to Emmaus saw Jesus of Nazareth, the flesh and blood man. And now it says here, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you are born of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, how we believe that is very important, what we believe, and that we would believe and be fully persuaded, but our persuasion needs to come from the true witness, and that true witness is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has given us his true witness, his testimony, in scripture. And we have these scriptures, and now we persuade men by scriptures to get them to the point where they will look at these things, they will take them to themselves, they will own them, if you will, they will do the work of learning more about Jesus, because the more you know about Jesus, the closer you get to Jesus, the closer you can get to Jesus, the closer you can have that full assurance that you are already born of the Spirit of God. And all these things that are happening in this time world that we live in right now are just temporary, because I guarantee you, brethren, after this COVID thing, something else is going to come along. Out here in California, we have many of these big fires going on, more trials, more tribulations. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. It says, but be of good cheer, Jesus says, I've overcome the world. That is, this world is not our home. We can have for full assurity this evening, believing that Jesus is the Christ, that heaven is our home, and it's bought and it's paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. But how should that knowledge move us in this very time world we live in? Let's read here back in Acts chapter 8. And it says, and the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. You notice that the eunuch had a desire to want to hear the word of God. It wasn't just he didn't look at Philip and say, you know, where did you come from? What are you talking about? I don't want anything to do with you. Philip asked him immediately. He said, understandest what thou readest. He's already searching the scriptures, but he needs someone with the word of God to persuade him more that he could understand these things more fully. And he went up, and the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearing, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who should declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, whom speaketh the prophet this of himself or some other man? Don't you love this? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Sounds like the same scripture that Jesus preached to those men on the road to Emmaus. Sounds like the same scripture that Christ preached to his apostles. Sounds like the same scripture that's being preached in the church. Jesus Christ, that Paul says, I was determined to come among you, preaching no thing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Philip said, and they went on their way. And it says they came to certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Brethren, what is it that we're testifying of, that when we submit ourselves to watery baptism, it's an answer of a, it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it's an answer of a good conscience toward God. And brethren, if you got an answer, there's got to be a question. And I believe the question is when Peter was asked by the Lord, whom do you say that I am? Brethren, do we say that Jesus is the Christ, the one who came into this world and was born in that manger of the Virgin, that grew up as a tender plant before us. That one, at about 30 years old, came and preached and taught these things, telling us about what he came to do. He came down from heaven, not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. And this is the will of him that sent him, that that he would raise them all, he'd raise it all up at the last day. And here we are, being a eunuch, says, well, I want to testify, I want a public declaration. I want to show it openly that I believe Jesus is the Christ, that he died for me, and he went to the grave for me. But the grave is empty this evening. Brethren, the grave was empty when they went back to look into it, and they saw those grave clothes in there. They saw the two men standing there, who said he was raised again that third day. We see here that this eunuch is there. Listen, if thou believest, that is the same believeth. It's the same believeth you find in John 3:16. One of the most quoted or misquoted or whatever type of scripture you want in all of the Bible, but John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that so whosoever but have eternal life. And it says, wherefore, brethren, that if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we are already born of God. And this is what that publicly declared in being baptized, that he believed Jesus died and rose again, and that he rose for him. And if thou believest with all thine heart, it says here, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe this evening that this eunuch was a child of God? Well, Scripture declares he is. And this evening, if you believe, or you know of God, then it's because Scripture has, and Jesus Christ, the living witness, has declared unto you and has persuaded you. And the more fully you're persuaded, the brighter your hope this evening of heaven will be. Let me get one more scripture and we'll bring our remarks to a close. In John chapter 1. Let's read in the Gospel of John. He came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Brethren, as we look at this scripture, when you're talking about being received, that is talking about an action on someone's part. Us. That voluntary desire to believe. To them gave he power. And that power is a liberty. It's a choice that we can make. To become the sons of God. And to that become here in public. Do you have a desire to live a godly life publicly? We, child of God, when they pick up their cross and follow the Lord, that we would declare by that we believe that Jesus is the Christ and make a public declaration of it. A good place to start is in the church of Jesus Christ and being baptized. Thank you for your attention this evening. God bless you all.